Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Welcome in the sanctuary, wherever you are, in the cafe, if you're joining us online. Welcome to 50 Days of Transformation. This is part 5 today. Can you believe it? For 7 weeks, we'll be together on this subject. 50 days to be transformed, going over scriptures and truths that will change us in 7 areas of our life. I'm hearing great reports of what's happening in the small groups and the fun and the friendships and the truth that's being released. And this morning, as a part of this, we're renewing our minds on the subject of relationships. Now, this is something that we talk a lot about in our church. Relationships are very important in our lives, very important in our church, and very important for us to get good at the area of relationships. And so we're going to take some time today to discuss the subject of facing relational fears. And the big idea, the sermon in a nutshell, if you will, of this message this morning goes like this: I overcome my fears and repair my relationships through the love of God. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to say that statement with me, but let me unpack it for you here. Just look at this sentence that's up on the screen. I overcome my fears and repair my relationships through love. I'm not sure if you've spent much time thinking about how fear damages your relationships. Most of us think about fear as something that keeps us awake at night, or, you know, bothers us or makes our stomach upset, or we have our own personal reactions to fears. But today we're talking about relationships, and I want you to understand something, because we're going to show you the disease, and then we're going to give you the medicine. The disease is fear, and that fear touches your relationships, and the medicine is God's love. So now, with just that little bit of understanding, can we read this? This is a Please go back. Let's read this together. I overcome my fears, say it, and repair my relationships through the love. I'm not sure if you have a relationship today that needs to be repaired. Maybe you've given up on that. Maybe you thought it just couldn't be helped. But I want you to know, through God's love, relationships can be repaired. We're going to go all the way back to Genesis to look at the beginning of some of this dynamic in the Word of God. I'm going to read it to you. Please follow along. This is a familiar passage that goes to the book of beginnings, and it shows us relationships and kind of the games that we as human beings play, some of our fears, and how God wants to address those fears. It says, the woman, that is Eve, took some of the fruit and ate it. This is way back in the time of creation, the very beginning of man and woman. She took some of the fruit and ate it, the fruit that God had said, don't touch. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate it. And as soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. That evening, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from him. They hid from God among the trees. But the Lord God called out to man, where are you? And I believe God is calling out to people yet today, where are you? And man answered, I heard you in the garden. Watch this. I heard you in the garden. I was, what?
Afraid.
And so I hid. He was afraid, and so he hid from God because he was naked. There was shame there. The story goes on. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? And the man answered, now knowing that he has sinned, knowing that he's violated what God had told him, Adam answered, the woman. The woman you put here with me gave me the fruit, so I ate it. Anybody see any human nature in that kind of a... Okay, it goes on. I mean, the Bible is very, very good, right? The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do this?" And she replied, "The snake. The snake tricked me into eating it." So he said to the woman, "I will increase your trouble." And he goes on to talk about pregnancy and pain and giving birth. And there's so much here. And it says, in spite of this, you will still have a desire for your husband. Other translations say, you will try to control your husband. Other translations say, you will try to overcome him, but he, and then it says, this one says, yet you will be subject to him. Other translations say, he will try to control you. He will try to lord over you and dominate you. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for starting all the control issues that every marriage and every family have experienced since the dawn of time. This is where it all began, right? So there's that wrestling, and God goes on, and he says, you've listened to your wife and ate the fruit, Adam, and I told you not to do that. That was sin. And because of what you have done, the ground will be under a curse. You'll have to work hard all your life to make it produce enough food. This is where the struggle began. The consequences of sin, it'll produce weeds and thorns. You'll have to work hard. You'll sweat to produce anything until you go back to the soil from which you have formed. What a tragic circumstance results each and every time we turn our back on God and choose our own way. And I want to just kind of rehearse a little background, because this is where all our relational troubles began. Our sin as a race, when sin entered in and we followed ourselves and we followed the suggestion of the enemy, broke everything that was perfect. You see, Adam and Eve, prior to sin, lived in a perfect world. They didn't have control issues. Their relationship was just fine. There were no rejection issues. There were no games being played. There were no fears. There were no power struggles. There was no curse. All the curses and all the problems and all the blame shifting and all of that came as a result of opening the door to sin. And that's when everything entered into the world that was dark. And I can't talk about war and prejudice and hatred and murder and all those things, because today my subject is just, what is the damage that was done to our relationships? How far did we fall? And what does that fall and that trouble and that curse look like in terms of our relationships? And in this passage, this is where we see the damage. We see in this passage, how fear ruins our relationships. We see it, and I want to just go through and pull a thread through. I can't teach everything there is to know from this third chapter of Genesis, but I just want to pull a simple thread all the way through and help us to see that fear thing and what it does to our relationships. And after I'm done describing this, then I'm going to give us some medicine. All right? I'm going to give us the medicine which helps us heal and helps us get over the damage. But we've got to see the games that we play and the trouble that we get into because of fear and because of sin. Here are three simple areas. First, my fear of exposure. My fear of exposure makes me distant. Write that down. We get distant because we're afraid of being exposed. Why can't I be close to you? Why can't I be close to people? Why does it seem like I could be around people sometimes and I'm just not connecting? Why is it that we feel sometimes that we want to be loved, but nobody is loving us? There's such distance between us. We don't feel accepted. We don't feel at home in a world of relationships. We feel distant. Well, the truth is this. The ugly truth is this. There are things about me that I don't like. There are things about me that I don't want anyone else to know. I don't want anyone else to see my secrets, my hurts, my weaknesses. I don't want you to see what I get tempted with. I don't want you to see how weak I am. You think I'm strong. You think I'm something maybe that I'm not. And I don't want to show my hurts and my weakness to you. And so my fear, that's a fear of exposure. And my fear of exposure suggests to me that I should keep my distance and keep a safe distance from people. Because if you really see what I'm made of, if you really see my weaknesses, you might give up on me, you might reject me, you might not want me on your team. This is what human beings do. And I see it in this story, in the ninth and tenth chapter of, ninth and tenth verse of the story we just read in Genesis 3. God was calling out to Adam and he was saying, why are you hiding? Adam was hiding. Why was he hiding? Because he had done something that he didn't want God to see. Isn't it a little silly to think about people hiding from God? And yet we do it all the time, and our valley and our world is filled with thousands and millions, scores of people that are ashamed of what they've done, ashamed of their weakness, and do not want to be discovered. So we create distance from God and from each other because we're afraid. And we say, like Adam said, I didn't want you to see me naked. I didn't want you to see what's so personal and deep and unpleasant and shameful in my life. Adam did what we do. We run from God and we run from other people so that we won't be exposed. We don't want anybody seeing our fear. We're not talking about, you know, physical nakedness at this point. We're talking about emotional and spiritual nakedness. You know, if you knew what I said to my wife or my kid when I really blew it, you wouldn't want to know me. If I knew the secrets and the faults and the weaknesses. So we separate from each other. We run and hide. It's called hide and seek. And people play that game all the time. We hide and we run because we have a fear of exposure, so we get distant. The only problem with that is that it creates such distance that when it's time to be loved and nurtured, that there's no closeness there. So you're in a marriage where there's no closeness. You're in a family where nobody's actually connecting. Nobody's talking, nobody's opening up, because we're all playing hide and seek. Now there are three ways that this kind of settles into our heart and into our life. I think that I see that Adam and Eve felt shame. Everyone say shame. Now shame is a problem. The Bible talked about their nakedness. But God said this, who told you that you were naked? Well, God, I can kind of see that I'm naked. Right? But the issue is not that they were naked. The issue was because they were created before sin. The Bible says they were naked and not ashamed. But then somehow when they sinned, naked became a problem. In other words, that's when shame entered in. They had sinned, they had done something wrong, and now they have all this nervousness and self-consciousness and fear of being humiliated, fear of being seen. And that is the human condition. And I would dare say that many people, hundreds of people in this room and people hearing my voice, that your number one fear is the fear of being publicly humiliated, outed. You know, in a way that you don't want people to know. Your secret being told. You being exposed. Something you're ashamed of. Something you consider private and personal about your past or about your life. And you don't want other people knowing that. Why do we fight so hard to stay hidden? It's a fear. We fear being exposed. And it comes from shame. Sin makes you ashamed. And I would say many of you in this room may have you're born again. You know Jesus. You sang the song with Anthony. There is therefore now no condemnation. We sang it. God forgives me and my sins are covered and Christ has taken away my shame. We sang that song this morning and you were amening it. And yet, you have unresolved shame in your life. You're afraid that somebody's going to figure something out about your past. You're afraid that somebody's going to catch on to who you really are. Not who you have wanted to be. And so that shame is something that Jesus Christ comes to break today. Jesus Christ comes to break our shame so that we can have relationship with him and relationship with each other. Amen. And then there's cover-up. You know, there's shame, there's cover-up. When we cover our sins, it's like we're using those fig leaves that Adam and Eve used. Now, we don't use fig leaves in our day, or do we? Are there ways that we mask and cover who we really are? Are there ways that we develop as human beings to keep people from noticing what's wrong or what's exposed in us? Could be something as simple as a sense of humor. Most people that have a great sense of humor have learned, either as children or later in life, that if they just keep people laughing, that'll be kind of a cover, kind of a fig leaf for people to love them and not see what's weak about them. And there's nothing wrong with humor, and there's nothing wrong with fashion. And there's nothing wrong with doing your hair, and there's nothing wrong with having a nice car. But a lot of times those things become fig leaves, where we're just saying to each other, you know what, I'm okay, I'm really fine, I'm not naked, I'm cool, I'm hip, I have a nice car, I have the right friends, I have the right address, and I'm not using fig leaves, or are you? Why are we trying to front? Why are we trying to mask to each other? Why are we so terrified to lose some of those things? Like we would be naked without them. Because there's a fear and there's a shame that has entered into our experience because of our sin. This is the price of sin. And the reason I'm talking about it today is because it messes up our relationship. Not only does it mess up our relationship with God, it'll touch your marriage. If there's unresolved shame, if there's cover-up, if you're not being honest and truthful with the people that you love, if you're fronting and denying and covering up stuff, the sad thing is, eventually people will figure out who you really are, and if they're the right kind of people, they'll love you right through your problem. They'll love you just as you are, right? And so it's kind of a game to play this shame and cover up. And then there's, you know, hiding. I mean, Adam and Eve dove for the bushes, man. They went to the forest. They didn't want to be near God. And that's the way I feel when I sin. It's like, oh my God. And people say, sometimes they say, where have you been? I haven't seen you in church. Well, I've been messing up. I haven't been living right. I say, man, when you don't feel like you're worthy, that's when you need to be in church the most. Why are you hiding from God? Why would you run away from God? Well, I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not talking to God. I'm not praying because I'm just so shamed and so fearful. And I don't want to be around God and his people. That's a form of hiding. We conceal where we're at. And God comes and he says to us just what he said to Adam and Eve. Where are you? And why are you hiding? God is trying, and listen, God doesn't ask us questions because he doesn't have the information. Where are you? He knows where you are. Amen. Amen? He asks you because he wants you to be honest. Write this down. When I am distant, God calls me to honesty. And it can be terrifying to confess your sin, to be honest with God. It can be terrifying to be open with another person and be honest with them that you've sinned against. Somebody that you let down, somebody that you love, and you've tried to cover it, and finally they're on to you. And they know you're naked, and they know you've messed up, and they know you've sinned. And then at that point, you just have to say, you know what, let me just tell you, I am sorry, this is what I did. That can be terrifying, but it's also the beginning of our healing. Amen. Honesty cures that. So God is saying, where are you today? Where are you today? Are you being honest with me? My fear of exposure makes me distant. I have a bad feeling that I may not be able to finish this message. Because I'm not making very much progress here. How many are with me so far in the message? I've got one point covered, so I need to pick up my pace a little bit. Pray for me now. I will tell you the honest truth. I would love it if every person in this room would listen to this message three times. I've never said that before, but I believe this particular message might be the most transformative message of our seven series in this series, and maybe the most transformative message that I've preached in a long, long time, because these are core issues for us. And so I'm not rushing, because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to finish this, to do something special. Will you agree with me that God will just get to some issues? Because we can spend all our lives trying to fix our relationships and regather our friends and win people back and fix it with our children and fix it with our spouse. But if we don't get this, we're not going to get our relationships fixed. This is core stuff, people. My fear of exposure keeps me distant. Why can't I make friends? Why can't I be close to people? I'm afraid. And then there's another one. My fear of disapproval. My fear of being disapproved of being criticized, of being disapproved of, makes me what? Defensive. I don't know if anybody here has the same issue that I have, but I can feel myself when people start to disapprove of me or criticize me or whatever it is. I get jumpy. I don't like to be criticized. I'm afraid of it. Has anybody had that feeling before? So somebody comes with their white glove, you know, into your life. That's like terrifying. Because we're afraid that somebody's going to find out we're not doing a good job. Or we haven't done the right thing. And it's a fear of disapproval. And that makes us defensive. Did you see it in the story? God says to Adam and Eve, did you sin? Did you eat the fruit? Adam says, she did it. The woman. Now watch this. This isn't just blame shifting. It's a little bit more than that. It's aggressive. I didn't do it. Don't focus on me. I'm afraid of being caught here. And so I'm going to throw my wife under the bus. Have you ever thrown somebody under the bus? Do you know why people throw other people under the bus? Because they're afraid that they're going to get pinned. So God says to Eve, all right, fine. I'll follow up with Eve. Eve, did you sin? Did you touch the fruit? And, you know, her husband's already thrown her under the bus. So she says, the devil made me do it. And in a sense, you know, she was tempted and it came from the devil. But it's like this, everybody's blaming. And then kind of both of them are saying, Lord, after all, you put us in this garden. Really, you're the one. This is all like if you hadn't put that tree there. And so it's your rules, Lord, that are messing up the world. And this is where people are at. They're angry with God. They're angry with each other. They're you know, blame shifting. And why? Because we are terrified of being found guilty ourselves. So we start throwing each other under the bus and blaming the devil and blaming God. And it's a fear of disapproval making us defensive. Write this down. The more I fear disapproval, the more I will point my finger at you. And Jesus, he noticed this about people, and he said, why are you guys always trying to pull the telephone pole out of somebody else's eye? Or excuse me, pull the speck out of somebody else's eye when you have a telephone pole in your own eye. He said, don't be so quick to notice everybody else's faults. Concentrate on your own stuff. Deal with your own issues. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So the finger pointing, and it's sad that so many Christian people are so great at finger pointing. So it's time to resolve a problem, and a husband will say to a wife, well, it's you. Or a child will say to their parent, well, it's you. It's the way you raised me. And that gets us down the road, maybe about 15 feet, but it doesn't get us very far with God, because God knows it all, and he sees and he understands. These are the fears that we have to get rid of. Here's the last fear, my fear of losing control. Anyone here with control issues? Don't raise your hand and please don't point to somebody else. Kind of mentioned this a little bit. My fear of losing control makes me, what? Demand. Have you ever been around bossy, pushy, overbearing people? People that will bowl you over in a heartbeat? What is that all about? That is, can I ask you this? Is that helpful or harmful in relationships? Super harmful. This is what I'm trying to get us to see. My fear of exposure makes me distant. My fear of disapproval makes me defensive, and I start throwing people under the bus, and that don't help my marriage, and that don't help my friendships. And my fear of losing control makes me bossy and demanding, and I want to be in charge, and I want to make sure everybody does what they're supposed to do, and that also damages relationships. Adam trying to boss Eve, Eve trying to boss Adam, and it has never stopped since the history of mankind, and it is the result of sin entering into our relationships, making us afraid, and we react to our fear by saying, I'm never going to let anybody hurt me again. You stand here, you stop that, you do this, and don't budge, or I'll... And men do this. And women do this. And people do this to check each other and control each other. And at the root of it, and they'll use Bible verses and all kinds of crazy stuff to justify it. But at the heart of it, it's just stinking fear mixed with a little bit of pride that gets us to think we can dominate somebody. And it's just our chicken fear coming out that makes us demanding and bossing and bullying. And it's sad. Write this down. The less control I feel, the less control I feel, the more controlling I become. I've seen people where the control factor will go straight up. They lose their job and they start bearing down on their wife. They lose their health and they start bearing down on their husband or their children. Something is missing. They feel out of control. So they find any kind of a lever, any kind of a wrench that they can in life, and they just start cranking. Because they want to control something. They're afraid. Jesus Christ comes to set us free from this kind of fear and control. Did you know that secure people don't need to get their way all the time? People that aren't afraid don't need to be right all the time. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to release us from this. Now, that's the sickness. And I have 8 minutes to give you the medicine. What's the solution? The solution is love. Everyone say love. Solution is the God kind of love. Here's what will change your scared heart: knowing that God loves you. Here's what will change the direction of your relationships: releasing God's kind of love into your relationship. Why do I say this? Because the Bible says this: there is no fear. Would you read this verse aloud with me? There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out. How does that work? Why is it that some people will run into a building that is on fire while other people are running out? If you're a mother and your child is in that building, you're running in. Why? Are you afraid? You better believe you're afraid. But your overwhelming love is going to take you into that building to get your baby while other people are running out. That's because love is stronger than fear. If you love someone, you will blast through any kind of fear. Fear is the sickness, and love is the medicine. Love is what cures us. God's kind of love. God's love is the antidote. Write this down. God's love is the antidote for all my fears. And if you if your relationships have been characterized by fear, people trying to tell you what to do, people trying to control you, you trying to control them, people discovering stuff about you, you discovering stuff about them, all that junk that messes up our relationship, kills our families, kills our marriages, it's all healed and washed away by God's kind of love. Because we become our best when we're moving in love. This is why Jesus gave us the commandment to love. It's the greatest. The greatest of all of these is love. My sins make me afraid of God's punishment. So I learn how to hide. I learn how to defend. I learn how to control. But I was delivered from fear whenever God's love entered into my life. So I don't need my hiding, and I don't need my defensiveness, and I don't need my control. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When love enters in, fear goes out the back door. And this is the cure. Now, three things as we close about learning to live in God's love. And these are simple, they're intuitive, and they won't take very long. And we'll be out of here by 2:30 this afternoon, I promise. Really, the most important thing that's going to happen here is in a few minutes when we just start to pray over all this. And God himself becomes our deliverer. And God's love starts to sweep this stuff away. I'm believing for your marriage to be changed today. I'm not here to suck air in and blow it back out. I'm here to see your life change. How many are here for your life to be transformed and changed? So we're going to get our foot on this fear thing. We're going to crush its throat, and we're going to let God's love refill our lives. Hallelujah. Learning to live in God's love. Number one, every day I surrender my heart to God. If you will surrender your heart and let God's love fill you, the fear is going to go out the back door. Here's what Job 11 said. Surrender. Everybody say surrender. Surrender. Surrender your heart to God. Turn to him in prayer and give up on your sins, even those you do in secret. Stop sinning. Then you won't be ashamed and you will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge, and your darkest night will be brighter than noon. You will rest safe and secure, not afraid, filled with hope and emptied of worry. There is something that happens, and if you've ever given your life to Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you surrender to God, the weight of the world comes off your shoulders. And God's love begins to fill you. And I'm going to give you a chance to do this. And maybe you've been running from God and hiding from God. And I'm gunning for you. I'm asking God. I've been on my knees before this service saying, God, anybody that's running from you, please grab them and throw your arms around them. And love the fear out of them. And draw them back as they surrender to you. That's number one. Number two, every day I must remember the way God loves me. Now, we have to surrender our heart to God, but we can't forget. We have to remember every day the way God loves me. If I don't feel loved, I can't love other people. If I don't know that God loves me, I've got nothing for you. And the reason why many of our marriages and friendships are so dead and dry is because we're not allowing the divine flow of God's love to fill us first so that we have something to give somebody else. We got to remember the way God loves me. We got to remember that we're totally accepted. That Jesus made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. I know you've sinned, and this is the crazy love of God. This is the glorious gospel. This is the insanity of grace. That though you and I have sinned, God still accepts us and loves us because of what Jesus has done for us. So if he loves us and accepts us, why am I covering up still? And why am I still afraid? You've got to get the acceptance of God deep in your heart and know that Jesus has made us acceptable to God, as the scripture says. And then we've got to know that we're unconditionally loved. Now, most of us are familiar with conditional love, which is if Bobby is a good boy, Bobby gets loved. Bobby gets a treat. Bobby gets, you know, it's like, but if Bobby's a bad boy, he gets the silent treatment. He gets shunned. He gets ignored. Many of us are used to unconditional love. I'll play ball with you as long as you play ball with me. But whenever we meet somebody that loves us exactly as we are, irregardless of our behavior, that's unconditional love. And God has that kind of love for us. He loves us without condition. The Bible says the mountains and hills may crumble. God says, but my love for you will never end. He loves you on your worst day exactly the same as he loves you on your best day. He's not fickle. He's not up and down about you. He's faithful to you. How many are glad he's faithful and that you're unconditionally? And also we got to remember that I'm completely forgiven. We're completely forgiven. That God has washed away our sins. If we've asked, if we've repented, if we've come to him in contrition and done our business with God, received his free gift of grace, if we've received that, then he has washed it away and we're completely forgiven. He knows it all and he forgives it all. And in Christ, there is now no, what? We sang it earlier. And I don't want you to feel ashamed, and God doesn't want you to feel ashamed. Then you can let down the fig leaves and let down the anger and let down the control, because God loves you just the way you are. And by the way, so does Gateway. Isn't it sad that churches can be some of the most condemning places in the world? Some of the most shaming places. But God is raising up a different kind of church today. A church that loves everybody. Amen. Regardless of whether they're a pope or a pauper. Whatever they can give or can't give, whatever they've done or haven't done, whatever they've been into or haven't done, God wants to love through the church this way. And here's the last piece. And I'll close us with this. Go ahead and start playing. Bobby, I won't correct you. I usually tell Bobby, no matter what, start playing at 20 after, because I have to shut up and stop talking. But he's so polite, he won't do it. Maybe he's afraid of me. Maybe, I don't know. Number three, and I think this is perhaps the most important piece. Every day, I offer God's love to others. You see, the same God that loves you and I commands us to love other people, but not in the way that we love. He commands us to love in the way that he loves. So, if he accepts us, is it right for us to reject others? Hello? If he forgives us, is it right for us to hold forgiveness from other people? If God is not beefing at you, is it right for you to beef at your neighbor? So we have to love exactly the way he loves. And here's what Jesus said. I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you, and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Lord, help us to love like you love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you love somebody, you'll be loyal to him, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. You will always expect the best of him. You will always stand your ground in defending him. Stand with me, please. Let's stand together. I have a question for us. I've described the disease of sin that entered into the world and how it poisons our relationships. And then I've talked about how God's love, pure, unconditional, and true, can heal our hearts. Do you think that same kind of love could help you repair your broken relationships? How many do? If we could learn to love the way God loves, forgive the way he forgives, to be honest, to be humble, to stop playing games, to stop blame shifting, stop throwing other people under the bus, stop dominating, stop bullying, stop trying to... If we could actually drop all that fear-based stuff and just receive God's love into our families, do you think it would make our families new? I believe it would. How many of you want this kind of love in your life? Then let's receive it. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I think I've hardly scratched the surface of something so important. But Lord, I'm trusting that the power of heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit will drill down deep into every heart that is open to you, that you would deliver us completely and entirely from fear, Lord, that you would take away our shame, our unresolved shame issues, our unresolved anger, our unresolved control issues that we bring into our families and into our churches and into our workplaces. And Lord, we ask you to deliver us from this junk because it's killing our relationships, Lord. Help us, Lord, to drop every fig leaf and move toward honesty and truthfulness with you first and then with everybody else, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would heal our relationships and by your great love, drive out our fears. I pray this for us in Jesus' name. I want our prayer teams to come just at this time. And Pastor Nicole, I want us to just lift up a song for 2-3 minutes. You know, it won't bother me if we spend 5 more minutes here. It won't bother me at all. Let's just get the Holy Spirit touching us right now. Let's just sing. Come on, Nicole. Father, using the authority of the name of Jesus, not by my righteousness, not by my position, not by my perfection, but standing firm in the righteousness of Christ, standing firm in the finished work of Calvary, standing firm in the authority that I have as a believer and as a shepherd, I rebuke the spirit of fear that has tried to torment and charge the walls of the fortresses of our lives, trying to scale those walls, that fear that has tried to come in like a million ants, to just invade and take over our parent-child relationships and our brother-sister relationships and our ministry relationships and our marriages. Lord, I break the power of that using your mighty love, Lord, as my resource. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will shed abroad in our hearts the mighty love of God, setting us free in every one of our relationships. Then, Lord, I pray a great season of restored relationships to drop down upon this house. A mighty work of the Holy Spirit to renew marriages, to renew friendships, Lord, that have been pinched and hurt and bruised. Lord, drive the fear out and bring us into restoration, I pray. We drop the fig leaves, we drop the masks and all the pretense and all the control, and we just say, Lord, fill us with your love. Fill our homes and our lives, Lord, with a greater love than we've ever known. I authorize this, Lord, and I rebuke anything that tries to stop it, and I say that this will be a house of love, and our families will be families of love, and our friendships will be friendships of divine love and not wrestling and bus throwing and all of that. Lord, break it off of us, Jesus. Deliver us from this evil, this poison, Lord, through the mighty power of Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. In your name, amen. Just 1 more minute. We're going to close this service. If you have some need or issue in your life that you want to be prayed for, if you need healing prayer, you can come and talk to our people here at the end of the service. I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen, and I want you to just say it right where you are. If you've been saved 100 years, or if you've never been to a church like ours before and you have no idea what's going on, just say this prayer. Come on, let's all say it together. Father God, thank you for your faithful love. You know how I've sinned and damaged my relationships. I don't want to hide anymore. Jesus, I surrender. I receive your love and forgiveness. Today, I boldly declare. Come on, say it again. Today, I boldly declare that I'm no longer afraid. I am free to love others in Christ's name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. This may be hard for you to understand. This may be hard for you to understand, but we love you exactly as you are. Now just love one another and be dismissed in the blessing of the Lord. Check out the tables, the information from Anthony about sponsorships and our resurrection weekend information. Please pick up all of those resources and be blessed in Jesus' name.
we pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.